Hello and welcome to the Stem Cell Report. I'm Martin Pera, the editor-in-chief of Stem Cell Reports, the open-access journal of the International Society for Stem Cell Research. As Stem Cell Reports embarks on its second decade of publishing impactful science across the breadth of stem cell research, this podcast looks at highlights from the latest advances published in the journal. We'll be speaking to authors to explore the questions that led to new breakthroughs and learn how they tackled those questions. We will hear about the background to novel findings, the challenges ahead, and we'll get to know a little bit about the personalities behind the work. Thanks for listening in. Biomedical researchers have long sought ways to repair spinal cord damage, with the holy grail of the pursuit being the reconstitution of lost function. Beginning in the late 1990s, the successful derivation of human embryonic stem cells and later induced pluripotent stem cells energized the field with a potential new approach to replace the lost neurons and glial cells in the cord to restore neural connections. In the decades since those discoveries, the transplantation of neural stem or progenitor cells derived from human pluripotent stem cells has shown some promise in animal models of spinal cord injury. However, many hurdles remain, including establishing functional synaptic connections between the graft-derived and host neurons, which is crucial for motor function recovery. Our guest today tested a new strategy to boost therapeutic outcomes: ex vivo preconditioning of human stem cell-derived neural stem and precursor stem cells to promote synapse formation between graft-derived and host neurons. This was achieved through the expression of the excitatory synapse organizer CPTX. The findings from this study revealed a significant increase in excitatory synapse formation at the transplantation site and consequently significant improvement in locomotion and spinal cord conduction. These proof-of-principle experiments suggest that the role of targeting synapse formation holds promise for future clinical applications, thus offering potential real benefits to individuals with spinal cord injury. My guests on today's podcast are Professor Hideyuki Okano and Yusuke Saijo. Hideyuki is a professor in the Department of Physiology and a former dean of the School of Medicine at Keio University. Professor Okano has spent decades studying neurogenesis, and he's currently leading the development of a first-of-its-kind cell therapy for spinal cord injury. He has previously served as an associate editor for our journal Stem Cell Reports and is currently a member of its editorial board. He is currently the president of the Japanese Society of Regenerative Medicine and vice president of the ISSCR. Yusuke Saijo graduated from Kurin University School of Medicine, and following a two-year initial training period, he embarked on a clinical journey working in the field of orthopedic surgery at Keio University, specializing in the spinal cord and spinal disorders. Yusuke is currently pursuing his PhD in the laboratories of Professor Okano and Masaya Nakamura, where his research focuses on ex vivo cell and gene therapy for spinal cord regeneration. Doctors Okano and Saijo, along with their colleagues, authored the recently published paper, Human-Induced Pluripotent Stem Cell-Derived Neural Stem Progenitor Cell Ex Vivo Therapy with Synaptic Organizer CPTX for Spinal Cord Injury. Welcome to you both, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us. It's a really honor and pleasure.
Thank you for giving us this wonderful opportunity. I do appreciate it.
Hideyuki, you were a postdoc in the Montel Lab in Johns Hopkins, where you first identified the Musashi gene and its role in neurogenesis of sensory organ precursor cells in Drosophila. Before this, you'd studied mutations in the myelination pathway in mice. How did this discovery in the fly spark your interest in regenerative medicine and ultimately spinal cord repair? As a follow-up question, how did you come up with the name Musashi for the phenotype?
Thank you, Martin, for key questions. We identify Musashi as a Drosophila mutant that has a defect in neural development. Especially, it has a defect in asymmetric cell division of the ectodermal precursor cells called sensory organ precursor cells, SOP cells. As a result, in the loss of function Musashi mutant, neurons are transformed into non-neural ectodermal cells, namely hair cells. So, Musashi mutant flies show that double hair appearance. So that's why we named it Musashi's. Actually, the Musashi is the name of the samurai who ever existed in Japan about 400 years ago, who is famous for fighting with two swords. Anyway, in Craig's Montez lab, we identified that Musashi encode RNA binding proteins. This suggests that Musashi is a crucial regulator of the neural development through the post-transcriptional gene regulations. After returning back to Japan from Hopkins, I was thrilled to discover that Musashi forms a family of evolutionary conserved RNA binding proteins that are highly expressed in the neural stem cell and progenitor cells across various species, including mammals. In 1998, I had an incredible opportunity to collaborate with Stephen Goldman, US, and use Musashi as a marker to identify neural stem cells and neural stem-like cells in adult human brain for the first time. This discovery gave strong motivation to start regenerative medicine of human central nervous system, including spinal cord, using neural stem cells.
Thank you, Hideyuki. Steve Goldman, another great translational neuroscientist working in this field. You might be interested to know that here in the United States, we're currently getting a strong dose of samurai culture through the televised adaptation of James Clavell's novel, Shogun. I'm not sure how good a representation of that period of Japanese culture it really is, but nevertheless, it's very popular.
Yeah, okay.
Yusuke, you trained in orthopedic surgery. Similar to a rather well-known Japanese stem cell scientist, Shinya Yamanaka. How did your interest in regenerative medicine begin?
To be honest, I never thought I would pursue a career in research. I thought I would continue working in the clinical field as an orthopedic surgeon. However, in 2019, I stumbled across the news that a groundbreaking clinical trial on the so transplantation therapy will soon be conducted at Keio University. That was a major turning point in my life. There are many times in my clinical practice when I was faced with a patient with spinal cord injury and I felt completely helpless. So when I heard about this cutting-edge treatment, it hit me hard. So I decided to switch gears and dive into the world of regenerative medicine.
That's fantastic. It's an unusual path from orthopedic surgery to regenerative medicine, but obviously a successful one for some people. So I'll ask you now, spinal cord injury has been viewed as a potential disease target of stem cell-based treatments from the very early days of stem cell research, but we have to say progress has come slowly. So what are the barriers to rebuilding the spinal cord with transplanted cells?
I think there are several factors at play. First, the post-injury pathophysiology of spinal cord injury is highly complex and varies, depending on the severity and the timing of the injury, making it difficult to develop the effective treatments. As you know, the effectiveness of treatment tends to diminish in chronic phases, where a significant amount of time has elapsed since the injury. To meet the needs of each patient's condition, we are in various stages of exploring the best approaches to combine the transplantation therapy with other therapies. In addition, there are significant financial costs associated with this research. Support from both government and industry is essential. These financial factors may also be part of the reason.
Yeah, I think that's something we face throughout the field of regenerative medicine, issues around the cost of goods and therapy. It's true with gene therapy as well. But the potential benefits to the individuals and the gains to society from their active participation are enormous as well. Hideyuki, I read an interview with you and your colleague, Dr. Nakamura, who is working in the spinal cord repair trial with you, in which you describe regeneration as making something occur again. And this struck me as particularly relevant when talking about reforming the connections and neural circuits of the spinal cord that are built really during fetal development and are completely disrupted during spinal cord trauma. So is it realistic to expect that cell therapy can alter the environment of the damaged cord to reactivate and re-enable some of the processes that were initially used to establish these connections during development?
Yes, I think it's realistic in a certain sense. Regeneration at least partially recapturates normal development, including the production of the neural and glia from the stem cells, extension and pathfinding of neuronal axons, synapse formation, and activity-dependent acquisition of the synaptic plasticities. Transplanted cells also produce various atrophic factors and cytokines that contribute to the activation of endogenous regenerative pathways, neuroprotection, and also the immunomodulations. We have also found that cell transplantation can lead to regeneration of the host axons. I strongly believe that the transplanted cells could serve as a scaffold for the post-axonal regeneration. In addition to these bystander effect, cell replacement is critical for the functional recoveries. Transplanted neural progenitor cells differentiate in neuron, astrocyte, and oligodendrocyte. Each type of cells derived from the graft performs specific tasks for the functional recovery by recapturing the developmental process.
Thank you. So the repair of the spinal cord through cellular therapy is complex. And to date, the approach has not been successful in humans. But there have been important proof of concept experiments in animal models, including your own work. So what have we learned from these animals? And how about the concept of building a bridge across a lesion using grafted cells?
Thank you for asking. In the animal experiment, we were able to obtain amazing proof of the principles to demonstrate the role of graft-derived cells in the functional repair of the injured spinal cord. We use a cutting-edge chemical genetics method named the DREAD system. This clearly indicates that the activity of the graft-derived neuron is absolutely necessary for the functional recovery. When we transplanted inhibitory DREAD, HM4DI, transduced neural stem cells, we observed a loss of the recovered locomotor function after the CNO ligand treatment. Particularly, we found that graft-derived neuron received excitatory input from the host neurons and sent excitatory output to the host neurons located caudal to the epicenters. This suggests that a graft-derived neuron bridge a neural circuit that had been disrupted by the spinal cord injury.
That is a very powerful proof of functional integration. That's the kind of evidence we need to really have confidence we're going in the right direction in this area. Yusuke, your recent paper looked at restoring function in animal models of spinal cord injury using genetically modified neural stem and progenitor cells to enhance the synaptic connections between the transplanted and host neurons. It's a very exciting concept, sort of empowering the grafted cells to do more. So tell us about that paper and exactly what you found.
Thank you. Now, we use the transplantation therapy with human iPS neural stem progenitor cells, we call the NSPCs, which has the potential to restore lost function. But its efficacy is limited when used alone. So we thought it was necessary to add a new component. The previous study had shown that synaptic connection between transplanted cell and the host cell plays an important role in motor function. To improve this result, we've developed a novel ex vivo gene therapy strategy involving the expression of a synthetic excited synapse organizer called CPTX in human iPS and SPCs. In the study conducted in immunocompromised spinal cord injury rats, we found a remarkable result. Transplantation of CPTX expressing the human iPS and SPCs resulted in a significant increase in excited synapse formation at the injury site. In addition, We observed the extensive integration of the transplanted neurons into the surrounding neural tract, which was facilitated by CPTX. And this increased synaptic connectivity transplanted into the functional improvements. We saw significant improvements in locomotion and the spinal cord conduction in the treated animals. These results are promising and suggesting that ex vivo gene therapy targeting the synapse formation may have potential for the future clinical application. Of course, there are still questions to be answered, and we will continue to deepen our search.
Yeah, I think these are exciting results, and it's a concept that could be applied in other areas of regenerative medicine, genetically modifying the transplanted cells to enhance their integration and function in vivo. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll continue our discussion.
Stem Cell Reports is ISSCR's open access peer-reviewed society journal for scientists by scientists. The journal publishes research and commentaries that drive the field of stem cell science forward.
Welcome back to the Stem Cell Report. I've been talking with Hideyuki Okano and Yusuke Saijo about cell therapy for spinal cord injury. Hideyuki, I confess, it took me a while to read through just the titles of the 600 or so publications on your CV. You've devoted a lot of your career to basic research into neurogenesis, even though more recently your work is focused a bit on transplantation therapy. I'd like to ask your views on an ongoing controversy in this field. Is there evidence for neurogenesis in the adult human brain? What does the bulk of the evidence tell us today?
Yes, it's a super hot topic. Actually, there have been some serious heavy debates about the neurogenesis in the adult human brains. The Advantage, a study on neural stem cell in the adult human brain published in 1998 and 2000 with Stephen Goldman, is that we were able to locate neural stem cells or the neural stem-like cells in the periventricular zone as MUSASH1 positive cell and isolate these cells by using the FACS and promoter GFP reporter construct. Interestingly, we found that these isolated cells, at least in vitro, were able to proliferate and generating new neurons. However, one major limitation we faced was the inability to demonstrate their involvement in neurogenesis within the adult human brain in vivo, primarily due to the challenges in the accessing adult human brain for such studies. I believe that the divergent conclusion on adult neural brain neurogenesis stem from the varied assessment methodologies used across the studies. It appears that researchers has yet to converge in a definitive answer yet.
Thank you for your thoughts. It's a very important question, not only from the standpoint of possible regenerative medicine, but also in terms of understanding memory and function in the hippocampus as well.
Yeah.
Isuke, what's next for your research in trying to enhance the functional recovery in spinal cord injury?
Thank you. Through this research, we discovered new and exciting challenges. The effect of CPTX was clearly demonstrated in the histological evaluation. But that's not all. We guess that expressing CPTX around the motor neurons and allowing surrounding neural axon to accumulate on the motor neurons can actually strengthen connections and change the behavioral function. Furthermore, neural rehabilitation is a highly compatible treatment with CPTX. We anticipate even greater synergistic effect when these treatments are combined, and we will continue our research.
Thanks. I think that last comment about the combination of neural rehabilitation enhancing the function of the graft that's a very exciting area for the future, I think. Thank you. Hideyuki, in addition to studying the basic biology of regeneration in preclinical studies in transplant therapy, you're also conducting a first-of-its-kind trial in Japan using iPS-derived neural progenitor cells to treat spinal cord injury. Tell us about that trial and if you can, any results you can share today.
Okay, thank you very much for asking. As a phase 1-2A trial, our group, including Professor Masaya Nakamura and myself, performed first-in-human surgical operation for the subacute complete spinal cord injury patient with a transplantation of iPS-derived neural progenitor cell in December 2021. In this trial, we transplant 2 million cells into injured spinal cord parenchyma at 14 to 28 days after the injuries. The patients are restricted to the complete injury for sensory and motor functions. The injury level should be from subcal 3-4 to thoracic 10. We keep the performing regular rehabilitation for 1 year after the surgeries. By the end of the 2023, last year, we could finish transplanting the required number of the patient. We are thrilled to make a detailed interim report of these patients, including safety and effectiveness, in this year.
Well, that will really be something to look forward to. That's very exciting indeed.
Yeah, thank you.
Yusuke, you're about to complete your PhD. What's the next stage in your career?
Thank you for asking. I'm thrilled to announce that I will be returned to the clinical field as an orthopedic surgeon this year. I am confident that my basic research will pave the way for new breakthrough in patient care. Although there are still many personal challenges ahead, I am enthusiastic about the opportunity to make a meaningful contribution to the lives of my patient.
That's great to hear. You know, physician scientists are just so important to the future of this field. People who can understand both the clinical side and the basic research like yourself are just invaluable. And I know what a hard and long road it is in terms of training, but I'm very glad you undertook it. Hideyuki, one last question. You're currently the president of the Japanese Society of Regenerative Medicine. And in June 2025, you're going to become president of the ISSCR. How do you see the role of these two societies and what you have in store for the ISSCR? I have to say, you've certainly set a good example for our membership and leaders as incoming ISSCR president by continuing to publish great papers and stem cell reports.
Oh, thank you very much for your question and encouragement. Of course, a strategic collaboration between ISSCR and JSRM is absolutely essential for the exciting development and sound social implementation of the stem cell research and regenerative medicine. JSRM aims to be a society that develops a new treatment for unmet medical needs and implement them in society. This will be done through close cooperation among colleagues with various specialties in the stem cell research and regenerative medicine. I believe that this mission has much in commonality with that of the ISSCR. Thank you also for mentioning our previous publication in Stem Cell Report. I'm very proud of these papers and would like to continue to publish our future confident work in this journal. Thank you very much.
I will look forward to reading that work and to accepting it for publication in the journal.
Okay, thank you.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks to our audience for joining, and thanks very much to our guests for sharing their stories with us today. This has been the Stem Cell Report. Thank you for listening.
The International Society for Stem Cell Research is a global scientific society that promotes excellence in stem cell science and applications to human health. Our vision is a world where stem cell science is encouraged, ethics are prioritized, and discovery improves understanding and advances human health. To join us, visit www.isscr.org/membership.